Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yep, it's TMZ Verified, the podcast. I'm Wild.
I'm Steph.
And I'm Chantal.
Okay, what's up, y'all?
How are you guys?
I need to find something else to say other than, okay, every time we say our names. It's just,
It's yep, TMZ Verified, and
okay.
Straight to the point. We're getting into it.
I love it. How are you guys?
I'm doing all right today. It's a little warm in Los Angeles, It's cool. It's like, I'm dying. That's why I'm naked today.
I was just in Palm Springs, and it was like, desert, like it was 46 Celsius.
But this office sometimes gets literally 0 degrees, so I can't make up my mind. But let's get into some stories.
Let's do it.
Okay, Tristan Thompson holding hands with mystery woman in Greece. There's a lot to unpack here, but I want to tell you everything you need to know. Basically, this Greece getaway is on the heels of us breaking the news that he and Chloe are expecting a baby boy via surrogate. What's unclear is when this baby was or is expected to be born. Basically, Tristan was spotted hand in hand in Mykonos with a mystery woman, and he was clubbing, so it's possible he met her there. But I have a hot take.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
I think the big discussion here is, he's horrible because he's in Greece. He has a baby that either is newborn or is about to be born. But I think Chloe has a different direction with this whole thing. It has nothing to do with Tristan anymore. She goes, I want a baby boy. Tristan's the best option at this point. I'm famous. I already have a kid with him. They clearly are not together. So he's free to do whatever. Who knows what she's doing? Maybe she's got someone that I think she is focused on kids being close in age, wants the kids to be genetically linked, and she wants a baby boy with or without him. And maybe he's a really good dad, but not a good BF. That's my hot take.
Okay. Chantal?
I agree with that, in that she has said that she wanted a second kid and she wanted True to have a sibling. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point, after years of Tristan doing what he's done to her and to their family, she understands the kind of person he is, but she does want a baby. So she has the means to be a single mom. It's not like she needs him to full. But I guess the emotional presence of the second parent is a different debate, but I do agree with your
right,
take.
Which we all know is like, oh, that's not great. But then she knows what to expect at this point.
See, I feel like we think that because we're like rational thinking people.
Okay.
From my perspective, Chloe wants to be with Tristan. Like, I have watched the show. There are always these little, like, her saying, like, well, I give people second chances. Or even Kim, at one of the confessionals, was like, shout out to Chloe for giving Tristan a second chance after he did her, like, shit. So it's like, I feel like Chloe wants to be with Tristan. Obviously, we don't know that. It's given very much take me. Like,
no, I agree. I'm just saying at this point, she sees the Greece Mykonos held hands and she goes, okay, like,
she
whatever.
Going, shit. That's
she
what it
knows
is. It is what
he's
it is.
Shown basically with actions and words exactly who he is. So with this new baby coming along, she knows the ride. She goes, okay, well, he might be in Miami next week having a baby with someone else or holding hands with somebody else.
You know, it definitely feels like Chloe is always with Tristan, and Tristan ain't never been.
Never been. But I really think, like, the whole narrative is like, oh my gosh, like, he's not in town with the newborn or not in town when the baby's supposed to come in. Are we shocked?
Well, I mean, like you said earlier, I mean, we don't know when the baby's coming or if the baby's even here. We don't know really a lot of anything, but
if the baby
regardless, they're not to, like, if. And sources have said that they aren't necessarily together as a couple. So if they ain't together and the baby ain't here, I'm going to go live it up in Mykonos.
Right. So, and then also, I don't think she cares about Tristan at this point when it comes to the child. She
I would hope
wants
for
to
her
prioritize.
Own sanity, she's cool enough to be like, look, man, you're just going to do whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when you're famous too, it's like you think our dating pool's small? Like, I feel like when you're famous, the dating pool's real small.
True,
what you just said. Her daughter is getting older. She needs to, if she wants them to be close, like, it's Tristan's the best bet.
Because most people do that. Even like us regular folks. They'll be like, all right, but damn, I want another baby. Like,
well, and I don't
I
have
already
children.
Got a baby by you. Like, it just kind of makes sense.
Right, but wouldn't you, it's more convenient and better probably for the child to be, have, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that sentiment. Like, yeah, hell yeah. Like, let me just have two babies by this one, John, and then I don't got to have no more babies.
You know what I mean?
And it's like, even if Khloé dates outside of that, she doesn't need more babies.
Right, and she's perfectly, like Chantel said, she can do this on her. Who says he needs to be in town for this baby to be born? She's like, I got this, and clearly you've shown your true colors.
Right.
I feel like their house is big enough that they can co-parent and not ever see each other. Yeah. Just be like, daddy's on the West Wing. Nah, like, run over.
Yeah. All right, Chantel, what you got?
Kylie Jenner is on the receiving end of a little bit of backlash again, and this time she's being called a climate criminal.
What?
Why?
What the hell is that?
So she posted a photo of her and Travis Scott snuggling in front of their private jets over the weekend with the caption, let me read it out, want to take mine or yours?
And that's kind of a flex, though.
The flex was not well received for two reasons. One, there's a climate crisis, the planet is dying, and private jets are notorious for their astronomical carbon footprint and like their emissions.
Right.
And so, you know, at a time when we're all being shamed into / told, use less plastic and, you know, decrease your intake of red meat, why are celebrities then just polluting the planet?
Yeah, here I am with my plastic, no plastic
straw. Okay, but where did they go? Where did they go on their like private, like was it a worthy private jet trip?
So I actually don't know that detail, but I do have a note about her general private jet trips is that people kind of have, after the backlash, zoned into this Twitter account called Celebrity Jets, and it continually charts the kind of flight path and flight time of celebrity private jet trips. And people found that Kylie has routinely taken 15-minute or less plane rides to get places. And the most kind of egregious example of this was a 3-minute flight from Camarillo to Van Nuys. So it's not like a 6-hour, 8-hour, we need privacy and we're scared of COVID. It's a, I don't want to drive an hour and a half. So I don't know about this weekend, but that's kind of been her history. So people have been angry.
Right. And if you really think about it, that is enough carbon footprint for one person for an entire year.
Yep. Mm. No, it's absolutely true. Truly. So the fact that this is a flex at a time when people like can't afford gas and stuff. And
that's the point, though. I'm like, I barely got here today.
Yeah, and then she's captioning, like, which one are we going to take? Which jet?
People need to get to work.
I have mixed emotions about
Please
this.
Please tell us.
Okay, because, like, a part of me, I am, like, pro-environment. Like, I will walk if I can. But another part of me, I literally hate driving, y'all. Like, driving is the worst. I hate driving to work. I hate driving. Like, I hate being in a car for any prolonged amount of time. I don't know if I can say if I had the means, I would probably take a private jet just because that's absolutely ridiculous. But I think I would be one of those people who like frequently fly somewhere to avoid. And if it's like an hour of traffic and I can fly, I might fly.
You know what this makes me think about? Okay, Kylie Jenner aside, okay? Mm-hmm. Every celebrity that probably does the exact same thing, but then they're pushing the narrative of like, let's, you know, reduce our carbon footprint. Mm-hmm. Let's be really like environmentally helpful and do our part.
Right.
And then they're doing this.
And then they're like, oh, my private jet.
Like what?
No, it's like buy my beauty brand. It's like vegan, cruelty free, super environmentally friendly.
100%. Mm-hmm.
But let me take a 15-minute private jet. Like I agree. I hate driving. If I could avoid it, I would. But I feel like there's a limit. Like if it's a 2-hour drive, please don't take a 10-minute
It's like,
jet.
Suck it up.
Right,
I don't know. Y'all need to mind your broke business because I'm
not one is saying
this. The math isn't mathing, as we say on this podcast. It doesn't make sense how you can push like, a narrative.
Of, yeah,
like,
no, it's definitely like not reasonable, but broke. I'm joking.
You do it.
I'm broke too. I'm broke.
Yeah.
Like none of us have private jets.
Called out. So in response to the backlash, Kylie posted a TikTok taking Stormy, and I believe it was True in Chicago. I don't remember whose faces were in the video, but taking the kids to Target and, you know, kind of positioning herself as this Target mom.
Where are we going, girls?
Target!
You guys don't want to get any bulls?
No.
What?
No, she did not say, oh, look at me and my kids. We're people too. And then they like go to Target.
These kids are like, I've never been in here.
These kids are like, what, mommy, are we walking?
Well, they were excited to get the toys. And it is nice to see that they maintain the sense of like childlike wonder in their home. But at the same time, it was like, you do not post a two private
Also, Kylie, we be on your head all the time.
I love you, Kylie, but
if Kylie was at Target often, we know that Kylie was at Target.
I love you, Kylie, but this is just...
I mean, no.
She would have been better if she pulled the kids in a wagon to Target. Oh my
God. Or come on camera and be like, listen, I'm famous and I got a jet. Like, I'm going to take it wherever I want. Let's do a giveaway. One of you gets to come with me.
That's what I think. This person is entering the competition.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a good response. Not going to Target. Because like, now we're all going to be in the comments like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Yeah.
I think in an episode of The Kardashians, her and Kris Jenner had gone shopping at a supermarket and treated it like this big day out. And like,
I remember that episode. It was cringy as fuck.
Well, it just shows
how... It was so bad, though. But it was so forced that it was like, oh, my God, is this where you get milk? Like, it was just very, like...
And if that is their reality, like, that they're
very... Then let that be your reality, yeah. Because let me tell you, I would love to be rich.
But
so
it just shows how disconnected they are from the regular, you know, taking a private jet, not going to the supermarket, not going to Target.
Car wash is the other one where they're like, this is a magical experience.
Oh, and then Kendall doesn't know how to cut a cucumber.
Yeah, like...
These are fundamental, like, things, I feel like.
You go being a human. Like,
no, but I do think it's like, you know, she probably has chefs who cut for her, and these people probably have people who go grocery shopping. It's just, it's interesting. It's very interesting, and it's very telling of their lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure.
They can afford it. No one's like, at least I'm not hating on them for being able to afford that lifestyle, but like at the same time, don't try past this narrative of like, oh, but like we're all just like you, like
that's the thing.
Yeah, like just stand in that shit.
Yeah, I'm fine with who you guys are. Like, it's just, it is what it is. But like, apologize with like a giveaway. Like, really, you got the means.
No, for real.
Don't go to Target. Don't go to Target. Like, we know you don't shop there. Like,
right, no,
the odds are slim. That's all I'm saying. Wild, what story do you have for us?
All right, so a little less or a little more serious.
Okay.
If you're looking for the happiest street on earth, it ain't that Sesame Place, according to one family.
The story is insane.
It is insane. So over the weekend, the Sesame Place amusement park, so that is different than Sesame Street. Sesame Street sitting over here like, how we get into this? We ain't got nothing to do with this. But Sesame Place, an amusement park right outside of Philadelphia, is in Bucks County, I believe. A woman took her two children there, and they posted a video online. And in the video posted by the woman, her name is Jody Brown, the character, Rosita, I believe is the Sesame Street character's name, appears to engage with other children along the parade route, but skip over her two children, which happened to be two black girls. The video was posted online. It has solicited responses from everybody. I mean, Kelly Rowland was talking about it. Tamika Mallory was on TMZ Live recently talking about just like the importance of having these types of conversations that may or not look like really shitty situations. But Sesame Street has since come out and they've apologized twice. So their first apology was like, you know, very general. We absolutely apologize. These things aren't, you know, tolerated here. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then they issued a second apology. The second apology says, in part, we sincerely apologize to the family for their experience at our park on Sunday. And then they go on to say that they will conduct training for their employees so that they better understand, recognize, and deliver an inclusive, equitable, and entertaining experience to their guest. Seems kind of like they're, you know, trying to...
Like every apology.
You know, just calm people's frustrations. But then shit went crazy because almost immediately after this story went viral, y'all, other people that have been to that same Sesame Place started posting videos of their experiences at Sesame Place. Yeah. And some of these are like kind of crazy. So guys, look, check these videos out if you're listening on like podcast audio. TMZ Podcast Network on YouTube. You can actually watch this video version of this podcast, but we're showing the video right now. It is insane, and it does kind of appear that this Rosita character is like
known for this,
like swerving on all the little black kids. And then there is another video of the Bert character, you know, Bert and Ernie. He appears, y'all, I'm like,
this one shook me.
He like basically like slap a kid.
So
like,
rude.
Apparently though, like I don't know if it was a slap or not, but he appears to seemingly like walk by and like just casually slap the little black kid in the face. And
first of all, disgusting. And then if this wasn't captured on video, would we ever know about this?
No.
We probably would, but we probably wouldn't.
It would be like one of like your friends. We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't.
Like,
yep.
Unless they literally like you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. It's actually a very sad thing.
No, it's such a serious, if we really think about it, these kids are going to get a good experience with their families. Like, it's literally the most happy place other than like Disneyland, right?
Imagine how freaking traumatizing it is for those kids. And they're like, Rosita! And
right,
Rosita,
like I'm talking being little.
And Rosita like, fuck out of here.
Slaps like,
no,
you in
not,
your face.
Not you. No, it's true.
Like,
it seems like this wonderful, you know, one of your first experiences. And in the video, they look so incredibly happy to be there.
So excited.
Like, running over.
So sad.
And,
no, it boils
it's
my blood.
It's truly disgusting. It actually makes me unwell, like, thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You
no,
know,
for real.
It's these, really also, fucked up. Mm-hmm.
If these was my kids, I would have lit that place up. They would have went from Sesame Street to Sesame Block. They would have been like, what in the North Philly is? Because, also, I have been to this exact Sesame Place location,
that's
y'all, multiple times. I am from Philly, and let me just say, one is a little ghetto. Like this.
Okay.
The Sesame Place theme park itself, I've never been to any other Sesame Place theme park, but I will say it is a very lively Sesame Place theme park. So there is always a lot going on. And I will say, I have seen some kids at this Sesame Place acting the goddamn fool. But the
but
bottom line
Kids
here is.
These videos are right, just excited.
The kids in these videos are just excited. But also, the bottom line here is, and I think that one of the things that the parents are pointing out is that, like, if you guys have a rule, or maybe the characters can't hug kids or touch certain kids or do certain things, those things need to be kind of standardized across the board. Because what we saw, or what it appeared to look like in the video,
discrimination.
Exactly. It's not even a conversation.
And picture being young, where you don't understand that kind of stuff, and then you are at this Sesame Place, which is exactly like Disneyland or like another cute, you know, you're excited. Yeah. They were so excited in these videos, if you guys watch, to meet these characters, just like as you guys were when you were a kid. Like, and then they slap him in the face.
Right. So it's like, if the Sesame characters are like told to not engage too much with the kids, engage with any kid.
At all.
Like, if you're going to slap my child, slap everybody.
Everybody gets to turn.
Or just don't talk to any kids.
Don't, like, don't slap the kids.
Yeah, like, we're joking. Don't.
We're joking.
But again, like, make shit standardized across the board.
No,
because
agreed.
At that point, it's not fair.
And I'm glad it was on film.
Yep.
I'm Everyone fine, take their camera everywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So on this week's episode, we talked to Tana Mojo, and this was just such a fun interview for me specifically, because I've been obsessed for, not obsessed, but like, I've been a fan for years. Like,
yes.
I really stan her. I really think she's come a long way. She really was describing every single thing that she's been through, you know, since her whole social media career journey. And it was just interesting to see her talk straight to us. And you guys, if you listen, we'll get to hear everything that she's gone through in detail and her opinions on it.
Yeah. And we yelled at her ass for us having to chase her down, because we have been on this Tana train since launch. Like, we love some Tana. So we were really excited.
I'm very excited.
Welcome back to Teen Z Verified. I'm Steph.
I'm Wild.
I'm Jacob.
And I'm Tana Mojo.
Tana Mojo, you know her as the social media personality, YouTuber sensation, and the girl who's unapologetically herself always.
Well, thank
you. We're so happy to have you.
That's so sweet. I'm so stoked to be here. I'm so excited to be here. I'm a little nervous, but I'm really excited.
Tana, look, let me tell you, the haters was hating. They like, look, we don't know if Tana gonna show up today. I said, no, my good sis told us she's showing up today. Tana, you go all over the world though. Like,
I don't even know if they're hating. They're probably just telling the truth, but we love the haters too. I think my next merch drop, I was watching the Elvis movie last night, and in the Elvis movie, they were selling I Hate Elvis shirts. Like, Elvis was selling them to make money. And I was like, I'm gonna sell I Hate Tana merch next. I can't wait.
Well, so what's up with that? Because you have a podcast too called like Canceled, right? Like, it's
no,
all about
a,
the self-deprecating stuff.
I have a live show on Spotify actually called Tana's Toxic Tips, where I am very, I've always been very self-deprecating. I just, you know, it's fun to be in on the joke with the people. And I think that at this point, I'm definitely a very polarizing person. I think that people, you either love me or you hate me. And if I was going to spend my time, you know what I mean, trying to win over the haters, I would do that 24 hours a day. So I think that it's just, at this point, I just let the haters hate and I live my life. And it's honestly funny. Like, you know, there's the occasional comment where I'm like, ouch, that one hurt. But like, for the most part, it's the same shit and it's funny.
Okay, well, now that I got my bad research out of the way, let me hit you with my good research. Tana, honestly, I was studying before this interview. I'm gonna be honest with you, and I have to say, dude, of course, man, come on, you gotta come prepared. What do you mean? I gotta say, I'm honestly concerned. The first thing I Google Tana Mojo, and I see Tana scared because intruders are coming after her, upping security. What's going on? That honestly sounds terrifying.
Yeah. My security just walked in as we were filming in the beginning. I mean, I blew up from a stalker story. I've always had a stalker since second grade. I had a stalker, same stalker, but obviously with that kind of comes like people trying to imitate that. And since I've been really doing OnlyFans, I don't know if I can like talk about it too much on here, but like,
you can say whatever. Yeah.
I just recently had an OnlyFans stalker that was going crazy. So the other night there's been a lot of burglaries in Hollywood. So we had someone who was like trying to break in, like ski mask and all, like, I don't even know, but I have amazing security that are outside 24/7. So I sleep pretty much with the peace of mind now. I've had a lot of crazy situations, but we're chilling now.
Hopefully. Do you find that it's hard for you to like protect your privacy though, because you live such a public life?
I mean, yes, but I think that you kind of give away your privacy for this. And like anyone in the public eye, you're kind of signing away your privacy for a lot of awesome bonuses. But I, at the same time, am never going to be a person to bitch about that, because I could be way more private. I'm choosing to volunteer probably a good 75% of the shit I'm oversharing online. But I've always been that way. Like, if my friends, I tell them everything. I'm like, guys, give me 2 minutes. I'm going to shit. Like, I just hooked up with this guy like this. I've just always been a very, like, I say whatever the fuck I'm thinking. So it's like, I've chosen this life. I mean, I've been trying to be a little more private with personal things as I've gotten older, but for the most part, if something crazy is happening to me, I'm sharing it. I signed up for this shit. I'm just for the people's entertainment at this point. My suffering is for the people.
Well, so if you're dealing with like intruders, I mean, I know you said that you got your security behind you, but are you learning like Taekwondo or like karate? Like, what's the deal there?
I'm like, yeah, totally. I'm a black belt. Don't come shock me. No, not at all. I'm the weakest bitch ever.
But that's why you got the security.
So I have to have a big, strong man who may or may not have weapons with me at all times, because I would not be the one. I would lose that fight 10 out of 10 times.
I think one of the things that makes you the most likable, especially for me, because I'm a fan. So I think you are so relatable, and you really treat your fans like your friends. Would you say when you're making like content, especially like about stalkers and things that happen to you on the daily, are you talking to it as like, okay, I got to make content? Or these things that are just like happening constantly that you're like, I'm going to update everybody, kind of like a friend?
No, I think when I think I have to make content, I'm thinking like brand deals or things that I'm working on, like work deadlines. That's when I'm really thinking like, oh, I have to make content. Or like for Dizzy, my brand, I'll be like, okay, I need to make this much content for Dizzy this week. Like, you know what I mean? But when it comes to just sharing my life, I've been doing that. It's funny because I've always been this way. Like, I was doing, like, before I ever had followers, I was on Vine, like sharing my life to my like 20 friends in high school. I was on Snapchat. Like, that type of stuff just comes very naturally. It's really all I know. It's been my life for like 10 years now. So I mean, I'm not like, oh my God, something just happened, I need to make content about this. I'm just like, guys, you'll never guess what just happened. I love it. Like, my fans really are my friends. My Twitter is where it goes crazy, because I'm always just asking the fans, like, what do I do? Like, literally, like, it's Google. I'm like, guys, what the fuck do I do right now? Like, it comes naturally, and I love it.
Do you ever have like moments when you're eating dinner, like with your family or friends, and since you're so used to like sharing everything, that you might accidentally share something about their lives, and they're like, whoa, 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 you're supposed to share about your life. Like, don't get me involved.
I get in trouble sometimes. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's hard with recently I've been doing this live show on Spotify, and it's live, and that's the craziest thing I've ever signed up to do, a live show every week, a live like 1 hour long show where I'm telling people about my week and I'm, you know, talking to people live and whatever. I have definitely already said some things on that live show where I get a call after from my friend like, hey, do you want a fist fight? Because I'll fucking fight you, Jenna. Yeah, I've gotten a lot better at that because it's like I never want to push anyone else's boundaries. Sometimes my big mouth just gets ahead of me. But like, obviously, if I know I'm not supposed to say something about someone else, I'm not going to. That's, you know what I mean? Like I try my hardest to know my limits and what I can talk about. Cause I never want to like, I would never want someone to say something about me that I didn't want people to know. You know what I mean? Obviously there's the occasional slip up, but yeah.
You're a lot nicer than I am. Dude,
I love that. I'm not.
Well, no, I'm saying like, dude, if I were in your position, I would be like, listen, like I'm Tana. Like everyone knows whatever happens, like I'm going to talk about it. Like if you don't want something out there, like don't talk about it around me. That's how I would go about it.
I try to separate, you know, my personal life as well. You know what I mean? I never want people to think I'm just like this walking content robot. Like I'm also a good friend. And if my friend wants to tell me something, I'm not going to just go like share their business. I ride for my friends very, very hard. So I prioritize being a good friend as well. And if I looked at any one of my best friends and was like, listen, I'm Tana, they would be like, bitch, I don't know what was in your coffee.
Sit your ass down. Right.
And that's why I love my friends, because they keep it real.
Right.
If I had yes men around me who let me fucking act and talk like that, I would be living such a miserable life. Like my friends would be like, bitch, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, go back downstairs, come back upstairs and fucking
shut up. Wait, so you've been sharing like stories and stuff for a long time. Your big one, what, hairdresser from hell. I know you've been sued by a lot of people. Did that lady, is she one of the people that sued you? Because like, that was the big Tana moment.
Life was easy then because I was broke. And if you sued me, you would have gotten belly button lint and a paperclip. So no one was trying to sue me then. And that is one thing that I don't want to say sucks, but I mean, like back then I could fucking air anyone out and tell any story. And I was like, you know, I mean, I was impulsive and I was fearless, and that came with a lot of bad things, you know, as well, stupid things I did or said. But it also was like, it was just, it was in that case a better time because I could say whatever the fuck I wanted. Now people are like, oh, I'm going to take this bitch's house in the hills. Like, you know what I mean? So it's different. But I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but I sit with my lawyers a lot and they teach me how to like speak in a way that isn't slanderous. So I don't get sued as often. Like for example, and I never want to use Donald Trump as an example because he's awful. But I mean, like the way Donald Trump speaks, like he talks shit about everyone, but he uses like specific verbiage so that he can't ever be sued for slander. Like there's ways to just say things differently. And so I've gotten a little better at that, but trust me, there's a lot of people I would love to air out right now, but I would get sued backwards, forwards, left and right for everything I own. So,
but maybe you could air them out, but take what your lawyers have taught you and be like, allegedly this and this happened.
Trust me, in my opinion, this happened. Yeah, I mean, occasionally I'll do that, but I try to be smart about it now because getting sued is no joke and no fun. And if you're watching this, anyone who wants to sue me, please don't.
Yeah, right.
Please don't.
Well, I know this is kind of a messy situation, but if we're talking about airing people out, like, didn't you kind of like, you kind of put Addison Rae's dad on blast the other day? And I'm just curious, like, since that incident happened, like, have you talked to Addison? Like, I know it's sensitive, but like,
I mean, no, and I love Addison. Like, I have no bad blood with her and her mom, Sherry. Like, she's just a cutie little like sweetie. She's like doing her mainstream shit now. She was like, fuck this influencer world. No, I'm kidding. But and her mom is so awesome. And I wasn't even like, what truly happened was, and I would have never spoken about it, was a while ago I was talking, you know, on something, and I was saying, you know, there's this LA dad and he goes around and he gets fucked up and whatever. And I never thought, or at least I didn't think it would come forth, you know, so soon. So then people were kind of putting the pieces together. So then I was on Jeff's podcast and I touched on it. You know what I mean? I'm not the one to air him out. And I promised if my old clip never resurfaced, I would have never spoken. But I also just, I have such a soft spot for parents taking advantage of their kids in this space. And it's something that's been happening in Hollywood for so long, backdated to like the Disney star days. And it's just, I don't know. Some people just don't necessarily, in my opinion, know their place. And
So yeah. Have you connected with Addison at all? Has she reached out to you at all? Any connection?
I don't think then? Addison Rae is reaching out to Tana Mojo in trying time. She's probably calling Kourtney Kardashian. And that's no shade. I'm just saying if I had my contacts list and I could call Kourtney Kardashian for advice or Tana Mojo, I'm calling Kourtney Kardashian, you know?
I know you talked about the Addison thing on Jeff's podcast, Jeff Wittick's podcast, but to kind of, since we're dipping a little bit into controversy, I want to know your thoughts on the whole David Dobrik, Jeff Wittick situation. I know you're kind of friends with both, but you are getting super close with Jeff. What's the deal with that? Also, are you guys like a thing?
Are we a thing? I'm praying every day we're a thing. I love that man. He's my favorite person on this planet. Like, I love Jeff to death. Like, oh my God. But I love David to death. I met Jeff through David, and I've known David for, David was one of my first like influencer, like friends. And David really like inspired me. Like, I just remember like the first time I was ever around David, I was so inspired. Like, he's so hardworking and creative and driven and authentically himself. Like, and David's done a lot for me and like my career. So it's like, there's like, I was just texting David the other day, like I, on the 4th of July, like I love him more than anything as well. And I mean, I love to talk about things and make jokes and stuff like that. And I do it with both of them. And you know what I mean? But it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm like a vlog squad extra that comes in when like everyone else fucking can't to film. It's not like I'm like deeply in that. Like, I wasn't there that day and stuff like that. So it's like, who am I to say? Like, at the end of the day, like, I think David has grown so much and is, I love him to death. He's awesome. But at the same time, I love Jeff so much and I want nothing but the best for him when it comes to health and wellness and success and his journey. And same for David. Like, I know it's such a like PR answer, but it's the truth. Like, I don't think that I'm the person to have the gavel and, you know, decide everything. So it's like,
yeah, I was just, cause you're friends with both. So that's gotta be hard to like navigate, but that's like,
I mean, but obviously I completely understand like, you know, what, like, where everyone is coming from, I guess. I don't know how to like elaborate. It's just not my place. And I think that, yeah, I love Jeff to death and I want nothing but the best for him. And like, I think that everyone needs to do what's best for them in every situation. So I hope everyone does what's best for them in that situation. I don't know. It's a tough and crazy, crazy deep situation with so many moving parts and so many things that people don't even know, like in the public eye. And I think that it's so far out of my little Tana Mojo drama hands. You know, it's just a real life situation that people need to handle in the best way for them.
Tana was not lying about hanging out with her lawyers and getting coached on this stuff.
For real, right? Like,
boom, boom, boom.
Part of that lawsuit, let me tell you that much.
Tana's lawyers listening to this right now, like, exactly.
Oh, girl, yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. I don't know.
But on a lighter note, are you and Jeff like anything more than friends?
Oh my God. I mean, no. Like on paper, no. Like in life, no. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like we're like fucking on the low or I'm like in love with him or anything like that. I just love Jeff. I think we have the best chemistry. Like, we have the best like conversation. Like, that's really why we've been podcasting so much lately. We're really debating on starting our own podcast together, because we just like, we could talk for 3 hours and there's not a single dead silent space. Like, and our senses of humor just like align.
It's magic.
We work the same too. Like, we both are just very easygoing and we don't really give a fuck and we say what's on our mind and we're just like down for whatever. And it just makes for an awesome dynamic. And I have so much fun. Like, after we podcast, usually we're just like hanging out, laughing, like Jeff showing me some random like workout thing he's building in his house, like just random. Like, we just have a good time. I don't know.
That literally sounds like dating someone though, right? Like, it's not like we do anything, but he's just like so perfect and like we just get along so well. Okay, and like get lost in each other's eyes.
Say that about 8 different men right now. I could give you that like awesome spiel about 8 different men.
Okay, so then if it's not Jeff, then who are you dating? Who are you?
But that's also everybody's dream man. Keep that in mind. You know what I mean? Like, I'm on a waiting list at this point.
We are truly just friends,
but we love, I mean, again, same sense of humor. We love to play into like and fuck with the people. And that's always been our friendship. Like, he would text me before we would ever do stuff online, and I'd be like, hey, big cock daddy, like, what are you doing? Like, it's just like how we talk.
Like, it's, I don't know. Back to Jacob's question. If not Jeff, then who are you spending your time with, Tana?
I'm really not. I'm spending my time with myself for the most part. You know, there's the sneaky links now and again, and I love to hit up an ex boo thing and hang out. But I mean, I've just really been working on so many things that I don't really have the time. And like, I've just been trying to work out, be so healthy, live my life, be a little housewife, cook my meals, like live and breathe. I don't know. I was liking a boy for a second, and I had to look in the mirror and I was like, bitch, get your fucking shit together. You can't be doing this right now. You can do this when you're a billionaire. I don't know. There's nobody, there's nothing crazy happening.
Okay, the man watching this is like, no, the
I definitely probably just hurt like three men's feelings by saying that, but it's the truth.
Well, I like how you said, you know, I'm working on myself right now. So then, if I'm ever in the mood, then I just hit up an ex boo thing. So does that kind of come just out of convenience? Because it's like, all right, I know what I'm getting here. I don't need to do the whole first date thing.
It's just like, I'm not just hitting someone up for dick. You know, there are people that I like to. You can like to spend time with someone and have fun and laugh and like watch a movie or, you know, like, oh my God, like all my friends are going to dinner. Come, let's hang out. But also kind of know, I'm a very transparent person. If I really like someone, I will tell them I really like you and I'm not trying to get played and I want to date you and whatever. Last time I did that, I got played though. So I'm back now. But you know what I mean? I just try to keep it transparent and things can be chill. You know what I mean? I hate the like friends with benefits type of terms, but what about best friends with benefits?
So what is Tana's rule on exes though? Like, are you allowed? Are you cool with your exes? Are you like, fuck my exes? Like, what's your rule?
I don't think I have a rule. I'm pretty, I'm never usually the one with the animosity for the most part. Like, if we break up and you want to be cool, I'm down to be cool. Especially because LA is like, I could go to the club tonight and probably see like two of my exes. Like, it's just the circles run very small. So I don't really enjoy animosity or, you know what I mean? Like, I always want to be cool. But I definitely have some exes that are, they're not down for that. So it just depends on the person.
Is Jake Paul one of these exes that you're not on speaking terms with, or are you guys on speaking terms?
I mean, I would say like, we would talk if there was something to talk about, like, but like, no, like, you know what I mean? There's nothing, we don't talk, like, you know what I mean? Like, but not in a, like, I have no animosity. I would like to think and hope he has no animosity from the last like times we've spoken, but he's in like a full relationship and I want like the best for him and just to like, live his life and be happy and box and be in Puerto Rico and live. Like, what am I going to text him about? You know what I mean?
No, I know. But like, if you saw, like, if me and you were at coffee, I'd be like, oh my gosh. Okay. So I know the wedding technically was, you know, kind of a shame, like not real, but was the relationship and your feelings for each other real? And I know he's with someone else. You've completely moved on, but were the relationship, like, were the feelings with Jake Paul real?
I would never speak for him. And I don't even know what he would say at this point of life. I mean, I really cared about him. And he was like my favorite person and we were best friends. Like beyond anything, we were just really, really like so close. Like he was like the closest person to me for a very long time and taught me so much. And you know what I mean? I really like loved and cared about him and I like would have done anything for him for sure. But I mean, that also was a very long time ago. And that's not like what I'm even focused on or thinking about like now, you know?
But in a world, I'm asking you a really philosophical question right now, Tana. In a world in LA full of all these fake people, like you had a connection with Jake, right? And I mean, is it kind of a bummer now that like you were so close to someone and you don't even really talk anymore? Like, where do you find yourself? It's like, damn, like, did a good one go? Or like, this is just part of my journey?
I think I definitely think about it more as a part of my journey because you can't, like fight for something if it's not meant to be happening. Sometimes things are eras of your life. You know what I mean? And it's obviously, it's if you think about anyone, I can think about someone I was best friends with for 7 years that I like don't talk to now. It's sad. Obviously, you're like, oh my God, I wish, you know, we could still be like close like we were. But I also think that that's life, especially when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24 in LA. Like, you know what I mean? It's like things come and go and things are meant to, eras of your life are meant to teach you things. And I think the worst thing you can do for yourself almost is hold on to a chapter or an era of your life that is closed, you know, like one, like the best thing you can do is take everything from that and move on to the next era. I think that people often really, you know, set themselves back from living in the present by holding on to an era or a chapter of their life that's closed.
Do you think there are too many people who are like 25, 26, or let's just say, you know, young, and are with people that they don't really like that much because they just feel like, well, I need a boyfriend right now. I need a girlfriend right now. Like, they've been with someone for too long. Like, what advice would you give people like that? And have you ever been in that spot yourself?
It's very easy to fall in the patterns of comfortability. You know, I think that it's, if you know you vibe with someone and it's easy, that's so much easier than going out and, you know, like looking for something else and whatever. But I think life is short and also about doing what makes you happy. I mean, I'm not one to give relationship advice. Let's be real. I'm a crazy girl. But I think at the end of the day, just do what makes you happy. And if something is holding you back from your dreams or your life or being your full potential or whatever, I mean, maybe it's not it. I mean, it's just a hard situation, I think. It's different for every person. I mean, I try to not be too comfortable because it's like being too comfortable often keeps you stagnant. So
I was thinking about your relationships. I feel like my question, is it hard to kind of be like one of the like queen bees in the influencer space in regards to like just building and maintaining your relationships with other influencers? Like, do people just be hating to be hating, or is it like an actual environment where you can like build solid friendships?
You could definitely, I mean, thank you for calling me a queen, first of all. When I think queen, I think like Charlie D'Amelio. I think like for the people. But for me, no, because I mean, what you see is kind of what you get with me. So in person as well, like in LA, I've built very strong friendships with other influencers as long as they, but it's not based on clout. It's not based on, you know, what, obviously I love a mutual decision if we get along to stir up drama online and stuff, but friendship wise, like you have to just be real and I have to like you and get along with you. And I mean, when I find that other influencers are fake or shitty people, I'm definitely the type to just distance myself. And it's, you know, it's not that it's beef. It's just like the people I get close with in this space. I don't care if you have 10 million followers or 1,000 followers. If I like you and I think you're a real person, then let's vibe.
Well, you've kind of been in this game for a while, and now there's like this whole new wave of stars coming in from TikTok. Is there anyone who you've spotted out and been like, hey, you know, I'm going to teach you the ropes. I'm going to take you under my wing. Like, you got a lot to learn.
It's a really good question. I can't think of like a specific person, but it is funny because I've been in LA for a very long time, and I definitely was around and in this space and this era far before TikTok. So it was very funny, like when all the TikTokers started blowing up, because it'd be like, you're my mom, you raised me, but they'd have like 10 million followers. And I'd be like, oh my God, that's crazy. I mean, I just try to look out. Like I'm just always there. I do definitely, like a lot of my TikTok friends and friends who haven't been in this space long enough will reach out to me and ask me for advice, or like, what do I do here? What do I do in this situation? How do I deal with this? And I'm always there to just give, I guess. It's not like I'm like Gandhi with this like book of fucking, you know, but like, you know, I've been in this space for a long time, and I'm always, for my friends who haven't, and the younger kids and the younger generation, I'm always there to give my advice and let them know, like, you know, like, I was just talking to one of my TikTok friends and he was like tripping over these comments. He was like, oh my God, everyone's saying I look bad in this and I'm this and this and this. And I was like, listen to me, like you're a star and you have these followers because these people are interested in you and your life for who you are. And, you know, don't let that go and be indifferent of the opinions of you, because right now, while someone's telling you that you're awful and ugly and you should kill yourself, someone else is telling you that you're perfect and you're Jesus and you should run for president. And neither of those things are true. You know, we are all indifferent of the opinions of others, and, you know, not to let them affect you. Like, I just try to give people the advice that's kept me going through this shit for 8 years without going fully off my rocker, you know?
If you could point totally to like one thing that you've done in your career where if you had to tell a young person like, yo, you see this, don't do this shit. Like what moment in your career or what controversy would you be like, okay, this, don't fucking do that. Like what was that?
I get out. I just pull out a big ass scroll. <It's> like,
particular Tana moment. Are you like hot ass mess? Like,
I mean, obviously never have a convention. Don't put your name on it. Don't call it TanaCon. Don't do that shit. No, I mean, it's not a specific don't do this. I guess just think before you say shit, think before you do shit. Being impulsive is definitely one of those things that has gotten me, you know, just in a little trouble. But no, I feel like people now kind of treat me like I like know what's good, but I'm still just Tana who's winging it. I'm just winging it a little slower, at a slower pace.
I think people really turn to you though, because I'm being serious. When you started, I'm talking literally your first like big video, Bleach and Tone. Like I was there for that. And at that time it was only beauty gurus and like fake, not that influencers aren't fake now, but it was way more curated, if that makes sense. And you were the one.
It was kind of the start of the like raw unfiltered era.
Correct.
Like, you know, and I grew up, and I mean, I was very inspired by Shane Dawson for that though. I will say that. I won't say I'm like the person who spearheaded the raw unfiltered era by any means.
Right.
But I mean, I grew up watching like all the OG beauty gurus and shit, right, and curated content. And I don't.
Wild knows. I'm like so excited right now that you mentioned Shane Dawson, because I do have a question about that. When that whole TanaCon went down, obviously, like we won't rehash the PTSD of the whole thing.
Oh, we can. I've talked about it. I've talked about it so much, you know.
What Tana's you, like, what? I'm numb.
She's like, yeah.
As she sips from the solo cup.
Yeah. What did you?
Why is my coffee in a red solo cup? So rapid.
Looking back now at that situation, I mean, you were young when you threw a convention. Yeah. You know,
continue. I'm sorry. I thought
you were... No, I'm sorry. Kind of competing with like VidCon, right? Like one of the biggest. What do you think looking back? You're like, oh, well, obviously it went wrong because of this. Like, what did you learn from that? Kind of like, I don't know.
God. That I'm a fucking idiot. That I should have had. I should have definitely. I had people around me, you know, that were maybe like, oh, are you sure? But I feel like I have people around me that would have been like, yo, you like, fuck no. You know what I mean? Or like, you can't hold this fucking convention until we hire this person, this person, this person, this person. Don't have it on the same day as VidCon. Don't, you know, and it's also, I was far more naive and trusting. I'd never had a business endeavor go wrong at that point. So I think that it's like, I was working with someone at the time who had successfully executed several other influencer festivals. And so, I mean, at a far smaller capacity, but nonetheless, I'd watched this man who was running TanaCon successfully execute so many other festivals. So I think that it was kind of like, I was just young. I was like, fuck yeah, we're doing it. Let's go. I trust you. And it's like, I mean, I'm grateful that TanaCon made me. Now it's like I could have Jeff Bezos helping me with something and I would be like, okay, I'm going to watch you every step of the way. And I still want to be hands-on, because it's now I am going to ensure that whatever I'm doing is going accordingly. Whereas at that time I was far more trusting and naive and young and whatever. And I don't know where my life would be had it gone off, you know, well, but No, go ahead. I just would have done things very differently, or maybe just not fucking done it at all and stayed in my lane and gone to VidCon. No,
but I do think that series that Shane had really not only like took you out of that situation, kind of gave the viewers like a real point of view, but it made you human, if that makes sense, which I think is important in this like influencer space. You're like
a beautiful thing for someone to be able to do that Shane Dawson has always done so well, is kind of using, I know him being an empath is such a meme and he can probably never say that word again, but his empathy for me, you know, really did humanize me. And Shane was always there for me off camera like that. And I mean, no matter what, for the rest of my life, I will be so grateful to him for taking that chance on me and being there for me in that situation and helping me. And I have no way, I would probably be a stripper in Vegas right now if it wasn't for him, you know? So I definitely just really appreciate that. And you know, he's a goat in those retrospects.
I honestly don't know enough about TanaCon, but just like if I were with you back then and you were popping off and you were like, yo, let's throw a convention to compete with VidCon, I'd be like, let's go.
Right there. Like, yeah.
Dude, like I would be like, that's the network. You're like, Tana, you are the network. would have been hyped on it.
Like I said, like had it, but I also think that it's like, I don't like throwing a convention may be a good idea if you can execute it well. Throwing a convention rooted in spite at another convention because you were angry with the way they were running their shit and doing it on the same day and across the street, not okay. Taught me a lot about, you know, not doing business that's regulated by emotions. Like now I definitely have fully learned how to compartmentalize my emotions and set them aside and, you know, work on business. Like, yeah, like now I'm not going to be like, I'm going to start a company in competition with this because this person, but like, you don't move like that. And I didn't know that. And I didn't really have anyone at the time to tell me that or teach me that. And I had to learn that, you know, for trial and a whole lot of error.
No, you are giving like 100% the right answer, like the very mature right answer. But I do still just fuck with the pettiness being like, let's go. We're going across the street.
Uh-huh. People love petty Tana. Now I've dialed petty Tana back a little. I'll still be petty to a bitch I don't like or an ex or something, but petty to a multi-million-dollar corporation. Sit down, Tana.
I feel like there is a part of Tana's
fuck.
So wait, Tana, I feel like there's a part of your career that I often don't hear you talk about enough. What's going on with the music, girl? Like, are you like Tana, like are we getting new music? Will there be new music? Are you just like, I was bored? Like, what's
I think that, I mean, everyone knows I'm no stranger to getting to the bag. And during that era, it was a bag, and I was stoked about the bag. And I toured all around the world performing music. I loved the idea of it. But I definitely would have never been thrown into a music space if it wasn't for the YouTube like diss track era. You know, like my first ever song, Hefner, was a diss track to a musician, and it just happened to like go viral and blow up and be something that people love. So I was definitely riding that for a while. I was like, people love this, so I'm gonna keep doing it. And I loved it. I mean, but I look back at some music and music videos and songs I have made, and I would do anything to wipe those from the existence of the planet.
Talent
has to come in there too. And I know that my diehard fans will, like, they disagree and they're like, no, Hefner is music. Hefner is talent. But I'm like, bitch, are you sure? So I don't know. I have fun doing it and I'm not against it, but it's a little, maybe it's just me getting like maturing, but it's a little embarrassing to me. However, it's not off limits. This is such a long answer, but I mean, it's not off limits. A lot of people really want me to remix Hefner, and my best friend Diablo produces crazy music. He just produced that Flo Milli song that's going viral on TikTok. Like, he coming off way too pushy, and we might want to remix Hefner for the culture.
I feel
TikTok
that, yes.
Loves Hefner. So, TikTok loves Hefner.
Yeah, I'm not, it's not no, but I don't know if it's yes.
Who's the dream collaborator? Like, if I were any artist and I was like, yo, Tana, like, we got to remix Hefner, like, tomorrow in the studio. Like, which artist would bring you out of retirement to making music again?
So many. I mean, I've been actually talking to a bunch of artists right now about potentially doing the remix with me, because that's what I want to do. I would want the remix to have like a couple features. So there's a lot of people. I mean, there's so many talented musicians and people that are blowing up on TikTok and whatever. If it comes down to Hefner, I would just want it to be the right fit. I definitely would want an artist who's down for like the joke of it all and to really get into it and stuff like that. So I've been I've been talking to some people and I don't know. Like I said, it's not no, but I'm not like Hefner drops August 10th. Like, you know, we're in the space right now where we're, you know, if we can make it right and we can make it work and I feel like it will do it justice. It's definitely one of those things that I'm doing for the fans. Like the fans fucking want it. So maybe I'll do it. You know, that's kind of where I'm at.
Why is there no Tana reality show?
Great question. I had a reality show on MTV for 2 seasons called Tana Turns 21. And I loved it. I loved doing it for a long time. And it was very fun. But I will never forget the way I felt when I finished. I felt like I was a shell of myself. And it's nothing to do with MTV. It was probably just one of my lower points of life because it just like, you know, having a camera on you from the moment you wake up until the moment you go to sleep, and then you're shooting for 18 hours a day. And then you go to bed for 6 hours and you do it all over again. You're shitting with a mic on. Like, you know, like you don't have a single you don't have a single second of your own life. And we were just talking about privacy, you know what I mean? And I, like I said, I'm pretty good with putting it all out there, but there is a different level of no privacy when it comes to that. So after that, I definitely was like, okay, I'm not going to do this for a while. Got a lot of therapy, figured out how to balance it. And now I would do it again. I would do maybe not in the same way at all. You know, my friends and I have shot some sizzle reels that we might eventually one day pitch and get back into that space. And I was lucky enough to work with Jeff Jenkins, who produced all like 17 seasons of The Kardashians and Life of Kylie and The Simple Life. And he's done every reality show I've ever watched or looked up to. And he kind of showed me that the way I shot previous things isn't the only way. So I think that if I were to find a way that, you know, wasn't so grueling and made me want to just like die, I would do it again. I would do it again. So it's definitely not, no, we were actually, my friends and I were just talking about it today. So
I
love YouTubers too, who like do their own little, like, I would also be down to like fund it myself and hire a bunch of people and put it all on my YouTube channel. I think people would love that.
I obviously watched it, loved it, but I understand, like, I'm not the person on the script, like going through that, you know? But my question to you is, you went a little bit into like the family life on there that a lot of people don't get to see from you as a fan myself. Like, that's kind of like a taboo subject. How has being, I mean, you are famous, you know, like really, and you've made such a name for yourself and you're super successful. How has that affected your family life? Drama aside.
There's a lot of things that I really wish I could talk about, but for reasons beyond me, I can't. Which sucks. I am not good at not being able to talk about things, especially when it comes to my lawyers calling me and being like, you can't talk about this or this. There's just a lot of things that have happened that I can't talk about yet. And people know about it kind of. I've been in some crazy situations when it comes to the court and not being able to talk about things related to the way I grew up. What I can say is since I was like 12 or 13 years old, Amari, my best friend, a lot of people may or may not know him. He was on the reality show with me. He lives with me now. He lives right there down those stairs. And his family like basically adopted me when I was like 13, not legally on paper, but since I can really remember, I was going there for dinner. I was going there for breakfast. I was going there after school. I was sleeping there, you know, 4 weeknights a week until obviously eventually I dropped out. I started doing this shit and whatever. But even just the past like 6 years, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, you know, if I want to call my mom, like they fully adopted me. You know, Amari's parents are my parents and I love them so, so, so much. Like on Father's Day, I called Amari's dad. On Mother's Day, I'm calling Amari's mom. I've just, you know, the family I was born into, I don't speak to. I'm literally an adopted queen, but it's also the best thing that ever happened to me. I can't even lie. Like Amari's brother and his sister, I grew up an only child and so lonely and whatever. And now it's like, I have siblings and I get to spoil them on Christmas and yell at them when they're being dumb. And like, I love my adopted life. It's everything I ever wanted, you know, like a mom who you come home and she cooks your meals and does your laundry and gives you a hug. And, you know, if I'm beefing with someone, she's cussing them out. Like, it's just, they're the best.
How do you think that impacted how you navigate as an adult? Like, without getting into the specifics of your childhood, but just like, how has that impacted you, if at all?
It's definitely impacted me because it's, you know, I guess a lot of like, trauma, like I've had to get a lot of therapy. It, you know, being born maybe into a life where you're, you know, confused or unsure about love and stuff like that obviously affects you and your relationships. And ever since I can remember, you know, I remember being like 8 and 9 and 10, and my personal thoughts were like, no, I have to take care of myself or no one will. So it definitely has always made me a very independent and strong person. You know, now if someone hurts me, I'm like, this ain't shit compared.
Yeah, right. I've been through worse.
And just independence in the sense that it's like, people always ask me kind of what motivates me. And for me, my sense of motivation is definitely like, if I don't do this, no one will. If I don't get up and fucking work, I don't get to run home to a trust fund. I don't
feel that. Yes.
You know, like it's always been kind of me having my own back. And now I'm very grateful now for my family. Like my adopted family who like, you know, is there for me to support me. But I mean, it definitely instilled values in me of like, this is your life and you got to fucking do it. Because no one else will.
I feel like Tana has grown. And obviously we've only ever known you like through the internet and shit like that. But it kind of is like insane, Tana, to see how your growth has over the last couple of years. It's like, what do you credit that? Is that just like natural shit? Like, oh, I've gotten older? Or is it like actual steps that you've made? Like going to therapy and doing other things?
Oh my God. I mean, I've definitely gotten older for sure. Like I've grown and matured in the ways most people will, but I've also just been through a lot of shit. And obviously the majority of it being public. And so obviously you have seen me kind of fall and stand up and fall and stand up in the public eye a lot of times. And that it does come with a lot of, you know, self choices. Like I said, during that, when MTV was over, during that era where my life, you know, like I wanted to make so many changes. It came down to me like making the active decisions to just be the person I want to be. Cause again, no one else is going to do that for me.
I'm so proud of you.
Period.
You guys are sweet. I need you in my house every day. Come on over.
No, I mean, we try. No, I think we it was one of those things where we were talking about like, okay, how do we navigate the Tana interview? You know what I'm saying? Because I think one of the things that we try to do here is like, we know you're like this polarizing fucking figure, but it's like, how do we figure out who Tana is as a person?
Right.
You think that's hard for you to even like express because you have just such this like crazy ass outgoing personality? You think people always kind of want you to come in hot? Like,
I think it's funny because my interviews always go one of two ways, always. Like, and I talk about this a lot with my team. It's either like someone wants me to sit down and tell you every influencer and celebrity I've slept with and how much my OnlyFans makes and expose 6 people and talk about the craziest Hollywood party I've been to this week. And you know, like what's Paris Hilton like? It's like that, or it's like, tell us about your trauma and your childhood and your deepest
secrets. Well, we wasn't too damn dramatic.
No, I'm kidding. Obviously, I'm dramatic as fuck, but I'm saying my interviews are always like we get into a very deep talk about the dark shit and all the shit people don't really see, or if they just want crazy fun Tana. And I'm like I said, I'm easygoing and outgoing, so I just go with the flow. Whatever the fuck people want to talk about in an interview, I'm an open book for the most part, unless I'm gonna get sued.
Okay, but wait,
I learned a lot.
Yeah, wait, but wait, speaking of OnlyFans though. Tana, your OnlyFans, how long do you think you'll be doing OnlyFans? Like, have you put a cap on it? Like, all right, when turn 40, I gotta lock it down. Like, what?
I actually, can I be honest with you? I never think about that. And people really don't ask that a lot. I mean, it's hard to turn down the check. Like, if the people want it, who says I won't be 40 on OnlyFans? Who says I won't be? I don't know. I mean, obviously, let's say one day I have like a kid and I felt like it'd be like embarrassing for them. Like, or something, you know, for mommy to be on OnlyFans, like, look at my feet. Like, you know, if morally I ever felt like, or obviously as well, OnlyFans, obviously. I like OnlyFans so much because it's so transparent in the sense that people are always, celebrities and influencers are always doing shit online for the money. And you don't know. You don't know what someone's doing for the money or for what they're genuinely about. But with OnlyFans, it's like, you know, people are doing that for the money. So it's like, if the check ever stopped coming, you know, I'm not about to be shaking ass for free, but
I feel that. Yep.
I also love doing it. I mean, not only do I do, I like to make a lot of jokes. I take, you know, I take crazy photos, and all the hot photos and videos I can't put anywhere else are on my OnlyFans, but I also have a show on OnlyFans called Tana Gone Wild that I do every week. It's a separate OnlyFans that people subscribe to, and it's fully a like reality style like show, like where I vlog my whole life, and it's everything I could never put on like YouTube, and it's all the drinking and partying and the inside look at all the shit I could never put on YouTube. I'm like, I fucking love filming for that. So I mean, I love it. As long as it's fitting to my life, catch me there.
Listen, it's 2022. It's all about the check. If you don't get that at this point, you're behind. Like that's the way I see it. And so Tana, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Okay. I
don't think there's any justified. As long as you're moral about it, as long as you're moral about the things you do and you're happy, it is kind of about the check. As long as you're doing things right and you're happy, I think that's what everyone's trying to do. But obviously not, it's never about the check to the point that I'm not going to be me. I'm never going to sell out to the point that I'm not doing what I love and that I'm not being myself. But yeah.
I have one more question for you. I love you to death. I always have. And I really want to know, dream life for Tana. You've definitely been through a lot. What's the dream life 5 years from now, Tana? Where do you want to be? Like, that's what I want to know.
I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've always said this, like when people are like, what do you want to be doing? And obviously I have like business goals and shit, but like, I just want to be fucking happy and I want to be true to myself. My dream life in 5 years, I'm already kind of living my dream life in a way. Like, I feel like I have all the people I love around me, people I trust. I'm working on the things I want to do. Obviously, like from where I've grown up, I wake up and I look at this view every day and I'm like, how the fuck did I get here? And I get to do what I want and it's awesome and I'm my own boss. Other than what I have, I mean, in 5 years, shit, I hope I'm like married or have like maybe a kid or some shit, right? Yeah. I don't know.
I like that. Well, I think we should end it on a happy note. I like that hopeful note for the future. Tana, thank you so much.
Alive.
Oh my God.
Yeah, right.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Dark humor. Dark humor. I'm just kidding. I'm just dark.
You got to come in office. You got to come in office and hang out with us. And
I was so jealous watching Harry Jowsey with the camera, clout farming, doing the whole thing. I want to come into TMZ bad. I'll never forget the first time I was on TMZ on the TV. I was like freaking the fuck out, like watching it on like channel fucking whatever it's on. And I was like, oh my, like it's TMZ is just iconic. You guys are iconic.
Channel fucking whatever it's on.
Tana, thanks for joining us, girl. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys so, so much for having me and taking the time. You guys are all sweethearts. I need you in my life every day.
All right. Thanks, Tana.
Thank you, guys. Drink Dizzy.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, and subscribe to the TMZ Podcast Network on YouTube.
Is Google Podcasts a thing? I feel like I always want to say Google Podcasts. Yes. And we're on Google Podcasts. Follow us
there. Write a review. Tell us what you think.
All right. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.